Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's episode number 289 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the crap bag has something that I forgot to write down and do not remember. At 12:30, Aaron Rodgers does show up to Packers training camp. And in mere minutes, Texas and OU officially request admission into the SEC, and Simone Biles backs out of the Olympics. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Olympic stuff at 12:45 in the crap bag.
Thank you.
A lot of U.S. stuff, and it's not all bright and shiny. It's not all happy news for the U.S. Olympic team. We'll get into more of that. And it is a big day in this Texas-Oklahoma SEC story. You can now call it that officially because official things have to occur before certain things can happen. We'll walk you through the timeline of events coming up. Also, two nice conversations coming. We always talk to Jeff Ward on a Tuesday, and we always thank him for his time.
Ooh, I can't wait to talk to him about the SEC today.
Jeff Ward, who played football at Texas, of course, back in the day. He's done radio in Austin for a long time and always has an angle you might not have thought of, always has a take you might not have considered. What does he think of the SEC idea? Because he played football in an era where I just can't imagine a Texas fan, football player, anybody would have thought about going to the SEC. That's at 1. Then at 2 o'clock, we'll talk to Bobby Burton of Inside Texas, one of the legends in that business, been covering Texas and recruiting for a very long time. Did Bobby Burton ever think that he would be talking about five stars in a living room, the Texas coach visits and says, "Hey, son, do you want to play in the SEC?" It's just a mind-blowing idea in that world. We'll talk to Bobby about that at 2.
I not only wouldn't have believed it 2 years ago, Chad, much less that long ago, I would have also argued against it 2 years ago. But things change, and here we are, and it makes a lot more sense than it has at any point in the past.
Yeah, and keep that sentence in your mind, things change. Just those two words, things change, because I feel like that's the answer to a lot of what's going on, especially from the Big 12 perspective.
Yeah.
That is going to be the response to a couple of the things we're going to talk about today. We also need to let you know this at the beginning of the show, not to get too far outside of sports, but I guess it will kind of affect this. I was sad to see this tweet earlier. Breaking news from, what was this, about an hour ago, something like that? 2 hours ago. The breaking news coming through, Chris Bennett, shout out to CB, always doing great work on Twitter. It says, breaking, the CDC will announce this afternoon that fully vaccinated Americans should return to wearing masks indoors, in indoor public settings due to the spread of the Delta variant. I was a little disappointed to see that, Trey. I thought they had information and we're seeing good numbers in terms of if you're vaccinated, that vaccination also protects you from the Delta variant, and they're seeing that it's doing pretty good work. Isn't that right? Or am I wrong on that?
I thought you were right, but I also did say a couple weeks ago, just brace yourself because we're going to see the uptick in positive cases include the vaccinated, and eventually the percentage of people who are testing positive, the vaccinated may surpass the unvaccinated in terms of those positive tests. Now, the unfortunate thing,
hopefully that's true. In a way, you hope that's true.
I agree with that, and that's why I don't think it is necessary for the vaccinated population, or if we're really getting semantic about it, those who had COVID previously and experienced symptoms. I don't think it's as crucial for them to get masked up indoors, but here we are. And unfortunately, what this does, probably above all else, because I'm not sure how much additional protection it's providing people, is it's probably going to stop whatever the percentage of those vaccinated are right now. It's probably going to stop that number in its tracks, Because anybody who's not vaccinated at this point, they're going to look at this announcement today and they're going to say, well, why am I getting vaccinated if I'm still having to go through, I'm still having to jump through a lot of these hoops? And the answer, of course, is because if and when you get it, the symptoms are much less serious and the likelihood of you going to the hospital or dying goes down greatly. But at the same time, like you said, 4 months ago, we were all pretty much told you get the vaccine, we get to go back to normal life.
Yeah.
That's turned out not to be the case now.
Yeah, hopefully folks won't look at it as that simplistic a way, because I would hope you'd look at it as if you're going into that restaurant, whether you're going to wear the mask or not, the vaccination gives you so much more protection than the mask does.
Yeah.
It is way more
no question
protection than what you're dealing with there. So that's an interesting note apparently coming from the CDC later on. Of course, in our world of sports, we're hoping that things can feel normal again in college football, 39 days away from Texas and Louisiana. But, Trey, we're watching the Olympics right now. I know a lot of people are. Seeing those empty stadiums is so weird, and hearing the empty stadiums and watching the athletes get up on the medal stand with masks on and stuff. It is a reminder that obviously all this is still going on, and it looks like maybe the CDC wants to change things a little later today when it comes to those vaccinated, fully vaccinated Americans. So I just got a note on my email.
I'm so sad. I'm going to have to change the intro tomorrow.
I just got a you're going to have to take the word waning out.
Yeah. Modern dystopia once again.
I just got a an email about my child and school and all that, that if my kid's going to ride the bus, got to wear a mask. But in the school, we've already been notified that if the child is fully vaccinated, don't have to wear a mask in the classroom, but they're saying now they need to wear a mask on the bus.
Well, you should have to wear a mask on whatever bus you're on for the rest of your life, regardless of pandemic.
They also,
buses are dirty places.
I was going to say, they also make them wear rubber gloves. Is that okay? Should they do that? Maybe? Mm-hmm. Rubber gloves and...
Depends on what kind of bus.
They also give them the Rod Babers wipes kit where you can wipe everything down. Rod was wiping stuff down last night at the Leander Beer Garden. He's diligent, man.
Yes.
He gets after it.
The surface transmission, though, was disproven a while ago, so yeah. I don't think that's necessary.
I don't know.
But you know what? To each their own. If Rod feels more comfortable with surroundings doing that, then that's what he should do.
Peace of mind. We'll be talking about peace of mind with maybe the greatest gymnast of all time here at some point during the show. But we also will be talking about this Texas and Oklahoma SEC story. Trey, you know I'm all about the procedure and the is it official yet. And for those that may have thought that Texas would still take a phone call or two, still be thinking about other options, we are talking about the SEC here. And the Longhorns are not going to start going down this road this far only to turn around. Today, it is official that Texas and Oklahoma have declared to the SEC we would like to be members. I wonder if there's other schools thinking, is that all it took? Is that all we had to do? Just formally ask?
What was the scene from The Office so many years ago, the Steve Carell version of The Office? I think Dwight Schrute was a part of the skit, too, where somebody was having to declare bankruptcy.
Oh, I declare, yes. Right.
I declare bankruptcy!
It's not how it works.
It's kind of what it's kind of what it seems like with Texas and Oklahoma right now. SEC, we declare we want to be members.
We declare, yes, it has to be made official. So Greg Sankey has now, actually recognized it by saying, quote, the two universities look forward to the prospect of discussion regarding the matter. And then from the letter from Hartzell and Harros, if you didn't know, Harros is the president at Oklahoma, says, we believe there would be mutual benefit to the universities on the one hand and the SEC on the other hand for the universities to become members of the SEC. And technically, Trey, this is where I love the technicalities, they are saying they're seeking membership, an invitation for membership that will begin July 1st. Of 2025.
Let's not lean too hard into this game, okay? If we don't need to state a specific year, let's just leave the year off. I don't want to end up stuck in this conference for another four.
Four football seasons would remain at that point before the Longhorns and Sooners would head into the SEC. Now, see, here's where, Trey, you as a Longhorn fan, you're going to be balancing this out. Maybe for the next few years or maybe for the next 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there? But you're going to find the advantages and you're going to find the disadvantages. You're going to find moments where you go, oh, man, we got this new boss taking over and we got to pay attention. And then you got ones where, no, we're still Texas. We still get to, you know, to be Texas a little bit. So in this case, when you're thinking about the SEC and the invitation part of it, I just lost my total thought.
Okay.
I just went. All right. I'm just going to sip water at this point. I have no idea where that was going. Hold on.
Whew, all right. Well, while you try to regroup and gather your thoughts, I will say this. Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, it is still an inevitability. And even though they're putting 2025 down on the official declaration, the declaration of SEC dependence, let's call it, this is not going to make it to 2025. And we have some members of the Big 12 who are coming out talking about how this will be nice, this four-year buffer, to help them figure out the shifting college landscape to find that new home. If you are being reactionary here, like what Iowa State is making it sound like right now on their end.
Oh, that's a great one. We'll get to that.
You're going
to
get left in the lurch. You need to be very proactive with what your future home is going to be. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the group of five. And unfortunately for everybody else in the Big 12 right now, perhaps with the exception of Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, but even then, I'm not so sure about that. Kansas is also another exception, but they're pretty far down the road with the Big 10. You don't bring enough to the table to rest your laurels on somebody wanting to come get you. Being in the state of Texas certainly does help because the statewide market is so large, and for Texas Tech and even TCU and Baylor to lesser degrees, you have enough of a presence in the large markets in this state that you can lean on that a little bit, but you still need to be proactive here versus thinking that somebody's going to come ask you out on that date in the next 3 to 4 years, assuming this does make it to 2025, which it's not.
Okay, so I remember what I was going to say now.
Okay.
So I saw a
tweet. You like that tap dancing there, by the way? I had nothing that I was about to say.
That was well done. I apologize that I just put you in that situation.
That's okay.
I was working it up like I had something incredible to say. And
I was waiting with bated breath.
It's just, yeah. If that was like a Brad Kellner, that would have been a bit. With me, that was a total shoot. I just forgot. All right, so, but I saw this great tweet earlier. Brett McMurphy tweeted out, now that Oklahoma and Texas formally sought membership to the SEC, SEC will vote, in his opinion, 14-0 to accept the schools. To quote the great Warren Zevon, the SEC will now send their lawyers, guns, and money to get them in the league early in 2022. So here comes one of those big advantages, Trey, back to my point that I lost in the middle of.
Mm-hmm.
You as a Longhorn fan, you'll have moments where you realize, well, wait a second, there's somebody in the room that's got a sword as big as ours. There's somebody in the room that when they swing the sword, it matters kind of like it does when we swing it. When the SEC is on your side in this matter, I wonder how quickly this can get done. How quickly does it change? Because I think we all understand there's no way. Now, there might be a way somehow where Texas and Oklahoma may have to still give their rights money to the Big 12 only if they can figure out how to survive it. But that will not be happening with them in the conference for 4 years. Texas and Oklahoma are not going to play 4 years of Big 12 football while paying that money. They may already be in the SEC, and they make some agreement where the SEC will say, oh, Big 12, Bowlesby, calm down, sit down. We will cut you that check, and we will cut you that check. And we'll do it through 2024. We'll do it right now. In fact, I'll cut you the whole check right now. We'll get it out of the way, and you guys go on and do whatever you want to do. That may still happen, or they may be able to finagle it to where the Big 12 ultimately falls apart, and Texas and OU don't owe anything.
Because what is each Big 12 school getting right now? Isn't it somewhere around $35 to $40 million per year?
38 is what I saw the other day.
38, okay. And what would each school get in the revamped SEC?
Revamped, I'm seeing 70 to 75.
So you're essentially giving half of that SEC cut to what you would have been getting for Big 12 rights. And that's assuming, and I need to keep bringing this up, Paul Wadlington made an excellent point on this show last week, and then also Everyone Gets a Trophy on Sunday with Kevin. That is assuming that enough schools in this conference don't find new homes. Because if more than half the teams in this conference want to nix the media rights, then at that point you're not on the hook for anything.
Exactly. Yeah, you could wait. That would be sort of waiting it out time-wise. But
so otherwise, for the first few years that you're in the SEC, you're essentially making what you would have made in the Big 12. And then after you clear the media rights deal in 2025, then you're in the big time.
They're going to, yeah, I think they can get all that money stuff figured out. I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue. So the next part of the timeline to me is going to be Thursday. 2 days from now, there will be an official meeting of SEC, get ready, presidents and chancellors. What does that tell us all, kids? If you've been following college football, it matters. When the ADs get together, okay. They met at 11:30 yesterday morning. I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all, but they don't truly wield the power. Neither do coaches. It's presidents and chancellors. They're getting together on Thursday to discuss this, and now they have Texas and Oklahoma officially saying, we would like to be members. So what we don't know exactly, Trey, is will this vote happen Thursday? Not sure. But yesterday the ADs talked a little bit. Presidents and chancellors are going to discuss on Thursday. We've already talked about it. 39 days till kickoff on September 4th for the teams that have that weekend. You want to get this figured out pretty quickly so we can all get on to the season. So you don't want that distracting from your lead up.
Absolutely.
Too much. So I'm wondering if the weekend, as we go into Friday, will this be done in terms of, not exactly when, but will it be done in terms of the SEC voted and Texas and Oklahoma are in, and then folks in College Station are going to have to figure out how to live with it.
It seems like there's a pretty good chance. Now, let me ask you this. If they hold this vote on Thursday, how do you think A&M votes?
Whew, man, that's a big question. So the Board of Regents did meet yesterday, 5 o'clock. They went about 90 minutes on Zoom, from what I'm understanding, teleconference, Zoom, or combo of all those. And nothing was officially decided.
Okay.
In sort of snooty meeting terms, they took no action yesterday. And they reset a meeting for tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Same language about A&M, SEC, contractual stuff. So one day before the SEC presidents and chancellors meet, their Board of Regents is going to meet. I'm guessing and hoping that it's just for, let's get our ducks in a row. We made what we called a 100-year decision in 2010 or 11, whatever technically when it was. And we thought that 100-year decision, that was going to be 100 years without Texas around.
Right.
Now, 9 years into it, we've been forced to change. We are being forced to do this, which means the game comes back. We got to be prepared for that. I'm hoping it's just a prep meeting. So, you know, I would tell you if this vote happens on Thursday that I would hope, for the sake of everybody involved, it could be 14-0. I don't know if – right now I'm wondering, is there any vote that – like, would Longhorn fans be impressed with a 14-0? Or would they just say, well, of course, because the SEC made them and they'd give A&M no credit for that? Or on the other side, could there actually be – could you actually go through with 13-1 and understand it? Based on what we talked about yesterday. Look, understand that A&M's upset based on what they were told back in the day. They got their feelings hurt a little bit. They're willing to deal with it. They're willing to eat it, but they're going to eat it while saying, hey, look, we know we're the only one, but we're just going to formally say no, but we'll deal with whatever happens. Like, is there any way they could get through that without getting bashed?
I'm not going to put it past either Texas or A&M people to act petty towards the other. So if A&M goes 14-0, yeah, some Texas people are going to be chirping in some ridiculously pathetic way. But if A&M votes to allow Texas and Oklahoma into the conference, I'll give them a big A&M thumbs up,
Chad.
There
you go.
Because good job. You voiced your opinion the previous week, but you got yourself composed and realized that the best path forward was not going to continue to complain about it, but to say, you know what? We've been in this conference for a decade. We just had our best season in a lot of people's lifetimes this last year. Bring it. We're ready for all comers. Yeah. We're ready to renew this Texas rivalry, and we're not going to act like we're scared of anything here.
That's what I am hoping happens, because that's what I've been maybe stupidly asking for ever since 2012. I've been asking for an SEC West schedule and Texas. I wanted it. If somebody had given me the button, I'd have pressed it before asking anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have asked my dad. I wouldn't have asked anybody. I wouldn't have asked Johnny Manziel. I would have just pressed the button. I wouldn't have asked you. I wouldn't have asked Kevin Dunn. I'd have just pressed the button.
And we're in the same boat, by the way.
And said, let's play.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that idea. Ultimately, what I'm hoping can happen here is after all the money stuff gets put away, because that's important, clearly,
yeah.
big business.
Absolutely.
After all the money stuff is put away and both schools realize, money-wise, they're both were big dogs, and they're about to continue being big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But once that's all aside, I really hope that the folks in Burnt Orange and the folks in Maroon can follow their own current student body, because each student body currently voted to play the game.
Yep.
When they asked them. So follow the kids. Let the kids lead you into this idea. And yeah, both sides should say, oh, bring it on. Let's go. Because you know it matters to you deep down.
Yes.
It matters to both sides deep down. Because I know from the Aggie perspective, of course it matters. Of course it matters when they beat Texas. They thought so much of it. They built a giant fire every year to represent it. And on the Longhorn side, all I will say to you is 27-25. Because knowing what those two teams were that night, for you to hang on to it like you have, and I totally get it. Totally get why the Justin Tucker thing matters to Longhorn fans. But that shows you how much it matters. Because if you'd beaten another team in that kind of game, any other random team, you would not hold on to it like that.
No.
If you'd beaten Kansas State or somebody back then, 27-25, you wouldn't care about it now. You care about it because it was the Aggies. Period.
True. By the way, you said going into the weekend on Friday that you were going to call your dad and have a chat with him about how he feels about everything. What were his thoughts? What was his opinion?
I'll be honest with you. We have not gotten super deep into it yet. I didn't get a chance. I was still in the process of kind of letting him know what was happening, and then we had to stop the call. So I haven't officially asked him about what are your feelings about playing this game again. Because he grew up in an era when Texas was working the Aggies.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at it differently than I do. Because in my lifetime, it's been a different story. So he had already gotten himself to the point of, hey, I'm good just going on not playing them anymore. So I haven't had a chance to really dig in with him and find out where he is on the whole thing. But I would hope that there's going to be some kind of special feeling going on inside of him when he goes to Kyle Field the first time again to watch those two teams play. I'm hoping it matters to him.
It will.
But what I've learned over the years is a lot of older people on both sides, older Longhorns and older Aggies, have been able to put that rivalry down in a way I didn't think they would.
You're right about that.
They've stared me right in the face and said, I don't care. Heck, Paul did. Skippy Otex was on last time he was on with us. He literally said, I could take it or leave it. I wanted to jump through the radio and slap him. I hate it when people do that, but that's their opinion. That's
mm-hmm.
the apathy. Kevin Dunn has that apathy. He said that on the air. Kevin on the triple option has said, I don't care. I don't care either way. And it's like, oof, man. That always hurts me when I hear it.
I feel like even the most ardent anti-resume the rivalry people or the most apathetic people out there, after the first time these two teams meet on the field once again, every single one of those people is going to be like, okay, yeah, this game needed to be played.
Yeah, I would hope so, too. Somebody texted, what if the four-team division is Texas, OU, LSU, and A&M? That would be nasty, man. I thought of that one today. If you didn't put Arkansas in it, but you put the Tigers in, woo!
That's the one that probably makes the most regional and just, like, insane sense just in terms of the competition week in and week out.
Hey, man, let's go.
But you got to put Arkansas somewhere, and I think you probably do put LSU with the Mississippi schools.
Yeah, I've heard different combinations. I think a lot of different things could work. They'll try to figure that out. Are they going to go with the pod system? Are they going to go with East and West? But they now have two pretty big dogs asking to come join the party. Texas and Oklahoma have officially asked the SEC.
How about this? I'm not calling it a pod. I'm calling it a mini division. How about this mini division in the SEC? Arkansas, Missouri, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
Ooh.
Boom.
I don't think the word boom is what should follow there. It's a good attempt, though. I like that. Yeesh. I would like to apply to play that entire division every year. Can I do that? I want that SEC East advantage in that regard. All right, we'll talk more about that. If you have thoughts, please let us know. 337-3776, the Specs text line. Also, up next in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers did report to camp. We'll give you some of those particulars. Before the hour's done, we will get into the crap bag where Simone Biles did what at the Olympics? We'll tell you on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Tuesday, Trey might be playing it for a reason. Trey, tell him what it is and why.
Yes, this is Rage Against the Machine, Sleep Now in the Fire, and it's another shameless podcast promotion Tuesday. New episode of Books on Pod is out now. It is a departure from the normal book conversation for a documentary conversation. The documentary is Woodstock 99. It is available on HBO Max now. I spoke with the film's director, Garrett Price, who is not only a University of Texas alum, Chad, he is a guy that I was friends with back in the day, back in the late 90s
wow.
and early 2000s.
It's
the first
awesome.
Time I had the pleasure of interviewing somebody that I have known for that long on the podcast, and I think I may bring this interview to the show at some point, and maybe while you're gone in the middle of August, but Garrett takes a look at what was an absolute disaster of a music festival with Woodstock 99, and today's music is going to involve those who participated in the festival on the stage, and Rage was one of the first acts, I believe, who played on Friday, and it only got, well, worse musically probably because Rage is one of the best bands at that time and at that festival, but it only got worse in terms of the conditions from there, and that included a lot of mud slinging. Unfortunately, it wasn't just mud that they were slinging around. Bonfires that broke out. The National Guard ended up having to get brought in as well. Unfortunately, there were a number of sexual assaults going on too. An individual died, unfortunately. This was a disaster of epic proportions. Fortunately, a lot of other festivals took note and they changed how they were doing things going forward to where the festival atmosphere got a whole lot healthier, a whole lot safer after that. And that's because Woodstock 99 was such a disaster.
It's ironic that you brought this up because I saw it and I was going to talk to you about it. And you and I haven't spoken. So it's amazing that you got to speak to the director. First of all, that you know the director is really, really cool.
He's a Texas alum. So watch the movie knowing that you're supporting a Texas guy.
He did a phenomenal job.
Excellent.
It is incredible. If you're a music fan at all, definitely I would recommend checking that out. And it brought back just so many memories. I vaguely remember the event. I'd forgotten all the different acts they put together and how that ended up sort of helping further the problem in some ways.
Oh, so you've watched the whole thing.
Oh,
already.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Something, man.
So I'm going to have to break my no Limp Bizkit rule on these airwaves and play a little bit of Limp Bizkit today so we can talk Fred Durst.
It was really good. And I guess they're doing a series. There's six documentaries. I guess he directs one of them. There's six documentaries. It's called Music Box.
Oh, I didn't realize this was a series. I saw the Music Box thing. I didn't know what that meant.
And so it's like Woodstock 99. There's going to be one on Alanis Morissette. There's going to be one on DMX. There's one on... this is the only one I think that's an event.
Okay.
Everything else is a musician.
All right.
Or a band. But if this is any indication, it was so, so good. It was really, really well done. So definitely check out the conversation there at booksonpod.com. Yeah, I'd be glad to hear that interview. That is really good. Woodstock 99 was a complete and utter mess.
How about Moby realizing, because they were playing one of the tent shows on the Friday or Saturday night or whatever. He told his band halfway through that show, we're done with this. We are getting the hell out of here. This is only going to get worse.
Oh, some of the footage they have is just incredible to see and uncomfortable to watch in many ways, knowing what could be about to happen. All right, so if you're just jumping in, it is official. Texas and Oklahoma have formally requested to go to the SEC. Try to wrap your brain around that. Someone texted in, is Oklahoma and Texas going to change the type of player that they will recruit going into the SEC? I wouldn't necessarily think so.
Yeah, I hope they do. I hope they get more 5 stars.
And maybe that, especially Oklahoma. Oklahoma really hopes they get in on more 5 stars with an SEC discussion. But yeah, you're going to hope that ramps up in many cases. And I think this is true. I think if you asked Jimbo Fisher and the folks at A&M about the quality of recruit you were dealing with before and after, I'm guessing they would tell you they have a better shot at the bigger dogs now.
And oh, no question about that. And if anything changes for Texas and Oklahoma, Chad, it's probably casting an even wider national net.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama doesn't just look in the Southeast for its talent. There are certain positions that they may get more of from the Southeast. Same thing with Georgia. A&M has established a pretty good track record of going nationally to find guys. And Texas and Oklahoma have actually been okay in that regard as well. I think that the possibilities open up to you, though, nationally in terms of highly rated guys, the high 4 stars, the 5 stars, who want to come to your school because they know the caliber of competition that they're going to be playing against each and every week.
Yeah, those two brands walking in the door is going to be a really interesting addition. By the way, somebody giving you some love on the hop water tray. They just texted, I do love some hop water.
Oh, man, I'm so happy to be endorsing Whitestone Brewery's hop water. Whitestone is a local company, mom and pop. They are growing, which is really cool. And that does include expanding their alcoholic brands to a non-alcoholic brand like hop water. And I've been enjoying the you-know-what out of this hop water all summer long. I've been using it as a mixer as well. Goes great with some gin, a little squeeze of lime as well.
Oh, there you go.
And I cannot wait to continue informing the people about this delicious product that you can find in a lot of HEBs around town, or you can just go to the brewery at 1431 in Cedar Park.
So, Trey, before we get to Aaron Rodgers, Chris Bennett has an interesting question on the text line. Says, is it going to be the top 2 seeds in the SEC playing for the title, or will they have their own version of a playoff system if you go with the 4 pods?
Wow. Okay, so I didn't think about this, but what if you schedule one less regular season game to leave open the possibility of running 4-team playoff for the SEC championship?
It's interesting. Each pod winner has to play for it?
Yeah.
And then the 2 winners go to Atlanta?
Maybe so.
Maybe. Maybe it could happen. Somebody else suggesting that Texas, Oklahoma, A&M, and Arkansas makes sense for them as the 4-team pod. We've heard that mentioned. We've heard that LSU for Arkansas idea thrown out, but it does feel like that could be a possibility if they go with the 4 teams. I still love the idea of 8-8. Just move Alabama and Auburn, take Missouri to the West, and you're done. Texas and OU are in, and then figure out your cross games, and you're done.
So you know why they're not going to do that, though? Because I think the SEC realizes the mistake that they've made with how they go about scheduling the cross-division games, how there's no real rhyme or reason for when you play somebody that's in the other division. They're trying to streamline that just a little bit. And the only way that I think you could stick with the 8-8 is if you are essentially scrapping most, if not all, non-conference games. That way you're able to rotate the 8 teams on the other side. You play 4 teams for 2 years, and then you play the other 4 teams for 2 years. Because I think they want more of the SEC playing itself.
I'll be interested to see what they do there, because they protect their own in the SEC, and they make it where, you know, Alabama and Georgia play like twice in a 15-year run.
See, that's stupid.
I agree, but that's what they'll do, and I'm sure they look at it as just kind of protecting their big dogs. Will Texas now become one of those big dogs that gets protected? Will Oklahoma get protected in the same way? We will find out. We've had a lot of shockers around here lately.
Yeah.
I'd consider the Texas and Oklahoma want to go to the SEC a shocker.
Yeah.
I think Deshaun Watson reporting to camp was a shocker. And, Trey, I'll put this in the shocker category. I am shocked that Aaron Rodgers decided to walk in on day one. I figured he was going to start eating fines like he was eating, you know, pineapple on that vacation. But no, they worked some stuff out. Aaron Rodgers walks in today. The Packers proudly let everybody know on social media. They're going to go one more year, and then depending on his feelings, he will get the control. He's made them void his contract after this next year, and he gets the choice on what happens in 2022.
Good for him for working with that leverage, because the NFL, even for its star players, is not a league where you see teams kowtow to star players, because those contracts are so strong. And in the past, you've had guys like Le'Veon Bell who have chosen to sit out for the year, but that wasn't an option for Aaron Rodgers right now because he knows he only has so many years left. Yep. And as much as he may despise the leadership in Green Bay, this roster is set up to win this year.
Yeah, I was just about to say, now inform every team in the NFC that this happened today, because now the alarm bells go off. Mm-hmm. If you are like me and you're a Cowboys fan, I am also a Bucks fan. If you're either of those things, you are paying attention to this. If you are a fan of anybody in the NFC, especially in that North Division, this is now letting you know. That team was one leave Aaron Rodgers out there, possibly, from tying the NFC title game in Lambeau late. And then who knows what happens. I'm not guaranteeing they beat the Bucks. That's not a fair statement. But they could have tied it if they leave him in the game, and then who knows. So they're right there. I think it's the smart move for Aaron Rodgers, and they apparently have worked some things out with Aaron Rodgers to adjust contracts, to, you know, he gets to decide on the 22 thing. They're going to now go after Davante Adams and maybe try to get an extension with him. I think all of that makes some sense. My favorite, Trey, is this little addendum from Adam Schefter. There will be mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team.
Oh.
Is there any better way to say you're not actually doing something, you're just thinking about doing something, than that? You know what, honey? Let's put mechanisms in place to discuss your issues with our marriage. You think that'll work? Can I do that with my wife?
Mechanisms. Yes, you can. It's called marriage counseling.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, let's, is that just a fancy way to say, let's put a pin in it? Is that what people, remember people used to say that?
No.
Weird old ladies used to say things like that. We're going to put a pin in it. Let's just put a pin in that. We'll come back to it later.
Was that like a World War I thing where too many vets were bringing grenades back with them?
No. Not like those kind of pins. It's because of like bulletin boards.
Oh.
Let's put a pin in it. We'll leave it there. Come back. It'll be there later.
All right.
That's the idea. So Aaron Rodgers did report to camp, which means theoretically Aaron Rodgers will play. You know, he'll compete. He'll actually do the thing he's supposed to do. On the other side of things, in the crap bag, let's talk about the Olympics a little bit. There's some bad news for U.S. teams all over the place, but there's one big blinking story we have got to talk about, because Simone Biles just decided to quit. We'll tell you about it on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
Trey's going with a theme today. Follow him here. It's about Woodstock 99.
Oh, I forgot you hate this song.
And the director. No, I don't necessarily hate this song.
Breathe it. No, you've mocked it before, though, haven't you?
Oh, I've mocked it. Doesn't mean I hate it.
Oh, okay.
Breathe in, breathe out. No, it's got that. What a time capsule this song is, though, to me. They do a great job of pointing out where the music industry was in 1999, 30 full years after Woodstock, what they thought they were putting together versus what they actually put together. And had they known the music business a little better, they would have understood what they were putting together.
Yeah.
If you're not going to have your structure figured out, and you're not going to have your infrastructure and your details figured out, and you're going to put that much anger on stage, look out. Look out. And with that crowd watching, you could feel it. You could feel it as it's being discussed. You're like, oh, this is a terrible idea. This is awful. This is horrible. I can't believe they actually thought of this.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit.
There's nothing better than that Limp Bizkit footage.
On Saturday night.
Nothing in that documentary to me says it. The Chili Peppers are good. The Rage stuff is interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff. But what's going on with that stage and that crowd and Fred Durst, and if you're listening to the lyrics and stuff, it's incredible. Like, you couldn't write that if you wanted to. What was happening at that moment? Oh my God.
We're talking about Woodstock 99. It's a new documentary that you can find on HBO Max. It was directed by a guy who is a UT alum. Garrett Price is his name, and I actually knew Garrett back in the day. I had the chance to speak with him for the podcast, Books on Pod. You can check out that new episode as of this morning at booksonpod.com. The chat is good. The documentary is well worth your time.
Definitely is. It is really, really good. Check that out if you love a good music documentary. All right, coming up at 1, Jeff Ward of the Jeff Ward Show. What does he think of Texas going to the SEC? They've officially asked the question. It's just a matter of getting that vote now. And then Bobby Burton of Inside Texas at 2:05. The politics and the discussions in living rooms will change when Texas and Oklahoma are a part of the SEC. We'll talk some recruiting and other things with Bobby at 2:05. Right now, though, let's get into the crap bag and see who wants to compete. Here we go.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to soft soak this thing. I'm not going to give you the smoke up the you-know-what and try to tell you that it's not raining or whatever that phrase is. Things at the Olympics are not going great for the U.S. teams. I'm just going to lay it out for you. The softball team did lose the gold medal game. Cat Osterman's career may be over on a 2-0 loss to Japan. It sucked for them. So, plus,
what the hell?
Plus, no softball in 2024. They've gotten rid, after bringing it back, they're going to skip 24 and might do 2028. I don't know what the hell the Olympics are doing when it comes to these sports, but figure it out one way or the other. I don't know what you're doing.
Why would you bring it back for one Olympics and then do away with it again?
For people in America that do like Naomi Osaka, even though she was competing for Japan, she lost. That's kind of a shocker. She lost in the third round. The U.S. women's national team, the soccer team, good news, they're into the knockout round, but they just had a 0-0 tie. So they've had a loss and a tie so far in the Olympics. Not exactly at the top of their game, but they're into the knockout round. Let's hope they do well. Trey, here's some history for you. They had a backstroke event, and a dude from Russia won. That means that for the first time since 1992, an American didn't win a backstroke final at the Olympics. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
They go with 100 and a 200-meter backstroke. For those of you that don't know swimming, I did a little bit of research. So there's a double possibility every year. We have doubled that from 96 on until now. So that's all the bad news. And then, to pile on top of all of that, the biggest story at the Olympics right now is that Simone Biles was not able to finish the team competition and in gymnastics. And at first glance, it was terrible, but it was listed as a medical issue. And I saw it described as a vault situation, and I thought, oh no, she hit wrong on the vault, and now she can't compete, and that sucks. By the time I got to the office, Trey, it was explained to me as a mental issue, not a medical issue. Simone Biles, after watching her teammates lose to Russia in the team competition, said, quote, "After the performance I did, I just didn't want to go on." When asked if she was injured, Biles responded, quote, "No, just a little injury to my pride." She also goes on to talk about maybe not being focused enough and the fact that if you aren't as focused as you should be, you could get hurt. She said, "I wanted it to be for myself. I'm still doing it for other people. I don't trust myself as much anymore." She's the greatest gymnast ever, and she's like cracking up in front of our eyes.
Guess she's not the Michael Jordan of gymnastics, Chad. We're gonna have to have a larger discussion about next hour.
My God. So Simone Biles out of the team part of it. Let's hope she's able to compete in they do like an all-around version if you're a really badass on the particular apparatus, which she is, of course. And then they do individual stuff at the end where everybody competes at everything. And you can get gold medals there, too. So she was up for six going in. Now it would be a five max gold medal count if Simone Biles can get the mental stuff together at the Olympics. So keep your eye on that. Trey, the one piece of good news I have for you is women's basketball. We know the men's basketball team's having their issues, but the women, they just won for the 50th time in a row. 50 in a row. Now, the only slightly bad news might be that they won 91-82. This is the first single-digit margin they've had since 2004, but they have won 50 in a row. Taurasi was able to get back on the floor and play after her injury. You got Sue Bird out there. You got some of the youngsters out there, Wilson and the crew. They're coming together. They're trying to figure it out. They won by nine. They've won 50 in a row. That may be the only U.S. team that's ready to go right now.
Yeah, we have zero hope that the men's team is going to win gold right now.
No, there's no way.
So the pressure's all on the women.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, just a crazy story, though, with Simone Biles. We'll see how that is reported after the Naomi Osaka stuff with mental health. You certainly want to be respectful to that, but we are talking about an elite-level athlete that didn't go through it and then tell the media she was messed up, you know, freaking out. She stopped mid-competition and then says, that's it, I'm done. It's over, and hugged her teammates. This is the team part of it, Dre. We'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk.
I'm at a loss right now, Chad. Yeah. I'm really trying to bite my tongue to try and be sympathetic to her individual situation, but this is not good for the overall standing of society. When somebody who is looked at as the greatest who has ever performed the sport bows out on the biggest stage, and in the process, kind of quits on her team at the same time, because she did quit right before the team finals tonight. And the U.S. team, they need her.
Right.
She is their best performer.
Yeah, and then the way the team thing works is you have four, I guess they would have been four competitors, and then you average out scores or whatever. So when you take one away, I mean, your chances of winning go to almost nothing.
Although, well, somebody gets to replace her, right?
They did. Oh, maybe they do have an alternate. Maybe that is it. Yeah, you're right, but it's an alternate, but obviously not near Biles. They actually put up a decent fight from what I understand. I think they ended up second or third. Like, the team did.
They already played this, or they already performed
this. I don't think they completely dropped out of the rankings totally. I think they put up a decent fight, but they weren't able to win.
Wait, did she drop out in the middle of the competition?
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Middle of the team finals.
Yes.
For some reason, I thought it was still in a preliminary point of that. Wow. That's a shame.
Yeah, after she watched her teammates fall to the Russian... They're called the Russian Olympic Committee, in case you didn't know. But that was, I don't know exactly where.
She basically quit in the middle of a game.
Basically, yes. I mean,
in the middle of the most important game.
Yeah, so here, okay, during the first rotation of team competition, Biles attempted a particular kind of vault. So as I understand this, there would have been a rotation through all five. I think they do five apparatuses at the gymnastics. And so this is early on in the competition. She talked to a doctor. They went back in the back. She came back. She took off the little hand deals on the, you know, they'd use for the bar and hugged her teammates. And that was it. It's crazy.
Mental health issues should not be taken lightly, obviously. But I think there's a time and a place to shut yourself off from everything else that's going on. And I just don't know. Look, you could be listening now, and it's something that you deal with. You deal with anxiety or whatever else is going on here. There's a time and place to deal with that in the middle of the competition like that, when your teammates are relying on you as you are relying on them, for you to bow out like that. I don't know. I think that this generation is being taught that that quitting's okay under the right circumstances. I just don't know if I agree with that here.
Yeah, it's really. We'll get into that story a little bit more. But yes, it says she quit after her vault during the competition, and they did get silver. The team ended up getting second place there. All right, so we'll get into that story a little bit more at 1:30. Up next, it is the one and only Jeff Ward. What does he think of the Longhorns asking the SEC for admittance along with Oklahoma? Looks like this is going to happen. We'll get Jeff's thoughts on it on the Horn.